This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Welcome into another edition of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Your host and producer, Brandon Kravitz, here with a very special guest. The first person to appear on this episode two times is Mike Tozzi, and he's with me now.
Yes.
Mike, welcome back.
Oh, great to be here. Again, like I just said before we started officially recording, major FOMO occurring right now. I'm on the outside looking in at a magic playoff run that we envisioned for so long at the very start of the rebuild. I could go for a breakfast at Briar Patch, a dinner at Bosphorus, and to attend a home Magic playoff game. Maybe if they get through this first round, might have to use my airline miles or something like that.
We'd love to have you. I will save a seat for you on the club level, and we'll see how far we can take this ride. The last time you were at Bosphorus, I think you ran into a couple of Wagners. Isn't that right?
Couple of Wagners and Ms. Wagner, the mother of the two Franz and Marge.
The real MVP.
The real MVP. And I really should have bothered them, but I let them have their dinner in peace.
By the way, let me do some housekeeping here because we're still trying to grow this channel. A side piece to everything that we do on the live show in the zone, 3 to 6 p.m. weekdays on 96.9 The Game. If you have it in your heart to subscribe, rate, and review, it zooms this stuff to the top of feeds. So Zoneheads Orlando is a separate podcast feed for you, our most hardcore listeners and Orlando sports fans everywhere. I mean, part of the reason, Tozzi, I created this page was because I realized that there are so many people I talk to that just don't listen to the radio anymore. And, you know, there's still most of our listeners, that is how they consume our content. But I wanted to create a feed that was separate for everybody else. The people that just, there are people out there that all they do when they consume audio is consume podcasts, look at YouTube videos. And so I wanted to make sure that you got to kind of meet people everywhere, and that's the purpose of this channel. And it's a great way to keep you involved because I love chatting sports with you. And Tozzi and I have made it a plan to do this at least once a month.
Oh, absolutely. And no better time, like a few weeks into this Major League Baseball season, the NBA playoffs about to start. We got the play-ins tonight. Oh, that's not good. I'm getting notifications on text messages. I hope. This is the first time I've used this laptop in a long while, but perfect timing.
You sound important. You look like Adam Schefter over there,
right? Or Ian Rappaport had a pretty good offseason. I thought he was breaking tons of stories.
He was so
pretty hyped about this NFL draft as well.
I am too, but I have not. I think because the Magic have made this season so much more interesting than they usually do, I haven't dove in head first yet. And we're less than 10 days away at the point of you and I recording this. And I feel pretty good about the first round, but usually I can go like kind of pluck some guys throughout the entirety of the draft by now. And I feel so behind in that regard. I do want to tell you a quick story, by the way.
Yes.
So I went the first time ever, I got credentialed to go to the NFL owners meetings, which were in Orlando.
Oh my God, that looked intense.
It was incredibly intense. So I was doing my show there for 2 days, and I'm on this like radio row in a ballroom hallway. I've got ESPN's TV set up for their live hits on like NFL Live and all of that to my right. To my left is like Jacksonville radio, Pittsburgh radio, Houston. So the home of the Texans, Steelers, Jags, and a few different teams. Sirius XM's NFL channel. Everybody's kind of on this row, just a bunch of radio nerds, and then really good looking people that work for ESPN. And then you would just randomly see like Arthur Blank walking through the hallway.
Oh, it was so wild. It's probably the closest thing to like the MLB winter meetings where it's just like, oh, that's right there. But this sounds like it's that on steroids because this is actually the NFL owners meeting. Saw you like posted up right next to like Dave Canales.
Yeah, he was just like, these guys were just hanging out. Like, yeah. I saw Jason Licht walk by, sweatiest human I've ever seen in my life. Just
oh, that guy gets things done. So, I'm sweaty right now.
You would have loved this. So I did my show there on whatever 2 days it was, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever the second day was. By that point, yeah, it was on a Tuesday. Everybody was starting to clear out. So that whole radio row was just empty tables. And the only person that was in the hallway, and it's a pretty tight hallway, sitting right across from me, like 10 feet, was Adam Schefter. Just sitting at a table, just thumbing away on his phone, just like you would picture Adam Schefter hangs out, is just on his, he's got two cell phones, just going back and forth. And so he is subject to listening to my entire show because... He's forced to, like, we're in a tight hallway, so I have to project my voice to do the show.
Remember the homie from The Office was at the golf event?
Yes, it was exactly like that. Yeah.
Oh my
Kevin from The Office.
This is, let's see if, I'm so sorry, I got this.
I didn't hear it that last time. I think you're good.
Okay, that's good. I'm in a friggin', I'm sorry, I'm not in this Zoneheads. Yeah, well, it's one that they inserted me into. It's a fantasy baseball league with guys I used to go to high school with. I got in their league. It's some good baseball guys, but I mean, they're children in the group chat. It's just nonstop. I got notifications muted on my phone, but I guess I'm such a boomer with the technology. I need to find a way to mute messages on this backup laptop.
Do you sort of have like the boomer look on your face as you're trying to figure out how to mute this?
Oh, man.
There it goes again. That's fine. I think it's a nice little touch. It sounds like, it almost sounds like a radio production where you're like agreeing with my takes. Ding.
Oh, man. Good. There's always something going haywire. That's why I'm a sweaty mess like Jason Light.
So the only, yes, good pull. The only other piece that I wanted to inform you about was the party that they have. I cannot believe that the NFL still does this. So on Monday night, the first day of the NFL owners meetings, at night they have a cocktail party. And it is as swanky and nice as you can imagine. It'd be like the nicest wedding you've ever been invited to. That's kind of what it looks like, a reception for that. So there's a band playing. There's food setups everywhere, bars. Everything is open. You don't have to pay for anything. And everyone is there. Every coach in the league, every owner in the league, every broadcaster from CBS, NBC, like Maria Taylor's walking by me. And Andy Reid walked by, and I just dropped my jaw, and he goes, hi. I'm like, hey.
Big red. Big,
I talked to Mike Tomlin for a second. It was crazy. It was like a, I mean, it was seriously like, I woke up the next day, and I'm like, who's inviting? Why are you inviting media scrubs to an event like this? What are we doing?
That's so cool. I mean, I was thinking, like, I'm surprised they're letting people have access, but that's major trust, and no one ruined anything.
I guess not enough people have ruined it over time to where they still want to do this. I can't imagine the coaches and the owners like having the media around because everybody wants to get their moment. Everybody has their angle, or you have people that just fanboy out, you know? So I wasn't as social as I would have wanted to be because you don't want to make an ass of yourself. So you just sit there and people watch like crazy. But I tried to keep my thoughts to myself.
I mean, it seemed like you were in the mix and you got some quality quotes and whatnot. I mean, it reminds me of when I ran into the Wagners at Bosphorus. Like,
yeah, you try and keep your cool a little bit, but you still let them know.
I think I had a little subtle head nod from the table away.
Right. That's all you need.
And I think I got one back, and that was about it. And then as they left, they sort of looked at me like they might have run into me before. But
you know, I saw Shane Steichen, and I wanted to let him know that, you know, Tazi saw this coming from day one with Anthony Richardson. So
I did, and Shane Steichen deserves a whole lot of credit. Nick Sirianni deserves none. It was all Steichen ball, it seems like.
By the way,
Gardner Minshew, they almost made the playoffs with not even Anthony Richardson.
I want you to, when we hop off this podcast recording, if you haven't done so already, go and look at, I know it's just the spring game, so it's not like, we're not breaking down the film here, but DJ Lagway at Florida, that's a guy you're going to fall in love with. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I've heard
he's the backup to Graham Mertz, but I don't know how long Graham Mertz is going to be able to hold this guy off. He's got that little flick, kind of has that runs like a gazelle feature to him. He's going to be one of those guys. Gator fans are going to go nuts for this guy.
Man, a brand new SEC without Saban in there, but that's a whole nother can of worms.
Forgot about that. It's going to be the best storyline going into the college football season, but that's not why we're here. We're 10 minutes in. We haven't even gotten to what we wanted to talk about. This is what happens when Tazi and I end up in catch-up mode.
It's like why I haven't even been podcasting on my own. I'm like, I'm going to start thinking about, there's so much going on. I got to stay on topic.
Well, yeah. And you'd think 15 years in, I'd be better at that by now.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own. You've got a business to worry about and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
So let's get to it. I want to talk NBA playoffs with you because we've got pretty much every series set. As of our recording right now, we have not watched any play-in games. So we'll kind of leave those on the back burner and just get to the series themselves. And we'll start with the Magic. They drew the fifth seed. They get the Cavs in round one. I like the matchup. If you're looking for who can the Magic play that they match up with stylistically that isn't going to run them out of the gym with their offense and a three ball that they can't stop or keep up with, Cleveland would be that team for me. So look, the Cavs are better. They've got Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. They pack a scoring punch, but if the Magic are going to win a series, this is as good a chance as they have in round one going up against the Cavs team that has kind of been a mess this season.
I mean, I thought maybe the Pacers would have been the best matchup. It didn't seem like it was ever going to land that way, but the way the Magic sort of throttled that high scoring offense. But yeah, other than the Pacers, I think the Cavs is exactly who you want. I mean, they have revenge on their mind after the Knicks punked them last postseason. So I expect them to feel a little bit more ready for the challenge. In fact, I do expect them to kind of leverage their playoff experience. And they have the home court. That's what bothers me. The Magic were in such good standing like the whole season to like end up with a home court in a playoff series. But it is what it is. It's still going to be a great experience for everyone. What, they split during the regular season, I believe, the Cavs?
They did. Yeah, and they beat the Cavs with and without Donovan Mitchell. So it's not, you know, it's not a completely slanted split. The Cavs, if you look, I did the math on the differential over the four games for what it's worth. The Cavs have like a 30-point win over the Magic. So they're actually plus 20 on the season against Orlando this year. You're right about home court. It would have been so beneficial for the Magic to start this series. I think that's the most important key to all of this is start the series on your home floor and get off on good footing. But, you know, all you have to do is they each need one win in Cleveland in the first two, and you're right back on track.
Oh, exactly. Steal a road game and then really take care of business at home, because if you leave it open-ended, then like going back for more on the road and then depending which way the momentum is in the series. I mean, you know how these playoff series go. It's just so interesting. I miss it. It's been a while. I'm so locked and loaded to check these out. I will be honest, I've watched like the whole end of the regular season through drunk prop goggles. Like I've just been like seeing who's scoring, who's grabbing that rebound. Like I'm watching basketball in like the worst way, but I have been paying attention who's been winning and losing. And I would have loved if the Magic finished that season a little bit stronger, but hey, at least they avoided the play-in. Maybe it would have been nice if they like swap spots with the Pacers so they get the Giannis-less Bucks, but no, it's the Cavs. Got to take care of business. I think it's the right draw. Should be a long series if the season series is any indication on how things go.
I don't know if I'm being a homer and picking the Magic here. I honestly try and stay as objective as I can. I think I generally do a pretty good job at that. But when it comes to the Magic making the playoffs and this Magic team that I am absolutely in love with, There's so much fun. They've got such a great vibe, to quote my guy Mike Tozzi over here. I can't look any other way but Magic, but you're right. If they're going to do it, it's in six or in seven. That's the only way they win this series. There's no way they're beating the Cavs in four or five. I don't see that as a possibility, but I mean, I'll take the Magic in seven.
At times, the Cavs have seemed like gutless this year. They had some really hot stretches, and then they went like real cold, and like Mitchell and Garland each missed some time, and then it seemed like when they got everybody back, it was kind of like a power struggle. But those are two big-time late-game shot makers, and you know what playoffs are about. It's like defense and late-game execution.
Yep.
And, you know, the Cavs do have some rim protectors in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Those guys really got exposed against the Knicks last year, so you hope the Magic bigs can find ways to make their life difficult. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like don't let Donovan Mitchell erupt and don't let Garland get going. And then even those pesky shooters, I mean, guys like Georges Niang and Okoro and who's like the white – Sam Merrill. Like, I don't even know how much he plays, but I know they have some guys who can get hot from the
Dean
perimeter.
Wade.
Who's that?
Dean Wade.
Dean Wade, he's killed the Magic on occasion. Yeah. So they do have some annoyances. You will be sick of these guys by the end of the series, but just have to hope maybe the Cavs turn on themselves. Maybe Mitchell starts thinking about where he can get traded to next. There are some weird things on the horizon, I feel like, with the Cavs. So if you can just put them in a situation where they have to dig deep. But it's all new for the Magic. I mean, it's like the same basketball game in a way you've been playing all year, but no, it's like these are the final games, so you really have to lock in. And it'll be I want to believe the way the Magic play regular season basketball should translate naturally to the playoffs, but it's going to just feel different. These guys are human, so we'll see how they respond.
Yeah, Paolo and Franz have to both – they need to carry the scoring load. That's not, you know, any sort of – I'm not breaking any news here. I do love what Jamal Mosley did in that final game of the season. And I honestly don't know if it was performance-based, if this has been the plan all along. It's like a secret weapon strategy. Isaac in the five. And you put Isaac and Jalen Suggs on the floor together playing starter minutes. They're both all NBA defensive-level guys. And that changes the tone of the defense. So if you get... You get those guys not getting themselves in any sort of injury or foul trouble with Paolo and Franz playing well. Like that's a recipe that I don't think Cleveland this year is going to be able to overcome. But that's me projecting that everything goes right.
Well, yeah, I noticed that. I was like, is this like a new just seeing if it works? Is it for the playoffs? Is it a test? Very curious to see what they do in terms of lineups. But yeah, Suggs and Isaac, I mean, those are like real advantages. Of course, the Cavs have Evan Mobley, who's almost like a taller version of Isaac in a way. But, man, very cool to see Isaac not only stay healthy for the most part this year, but even have some games where he contributed offensively. Even Suggs down the stretch. Like, last time I was on this pod, I was like, I love me some Jalen Suggs, but we need buckets. Like, we can get buckets. Why don't we get more buckets? He's been the last, like, week and a half of the season. He, like, got some buckets. So, if he can make some big-time shots, I mean – yeah, he's the most important player other than Franz and Paolo, and I guess Isaac, in the series because of what he can do on the defensive end.
Yeah, yeah. And when Jalen Suggs comes back home, you can go ahead and fire away on those Suggs props, probably.
Yeah, at home, he'll, like, hit three threes in those first, like, 3 minutes.
That's it. Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. With a Suggs prop, you're either getting that within the first 7 minutes or you're dead.
100%. It is kind of the best way to bet. It's usually the other for when I take him, but I can't seem to time it. But the last time he had a good game, I timed it finally.
Right. Yeah. You end up taking a guy and then you need like free throws in the final 2 minutes. By the way, speaking of which, shout out to Boban Marjanovic who hooked up the city of LA with free chicken. That was a cool move.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like it was hilarious and awesome, but you know, there's some degens out there betting on.
If you're betting on Boban props, you got props.
Well, yeah, Boban props.
You mean like over-unders?
Over-unders or okay, something to take. I mean, if you're betting on that game, you got to call the number. But what was it, Rockets-Clippers with nothing on the line? Like, those are games.
All right, speaking of a series that I'm betting, though, I have the first playoff wager that I placed was Pacers plus 200. I don't know if the number has moved since. But I will say this with caution. I don't care if Giannis plays or not. I think the Pacers are going to win this series. Now, obviously, I feel better about my prediction if Giannis isn't out there. I think it's done if Giannis doesn't play. But I think the Pacers can beat the Bucks with Giannis in the lineup. They've become so Giannis-dependent, and that's not really what they wanted when they added Damian Lillard. They have not gotten what they wanted out of Dame. He doesn't look like the same guy, and I feel like that move impacted their depth. I'm just not impressed. And Doc Rivers in the playoffs, give me a break. I'll fade him all day.
Oh, man. And, like, they didn't play a lick of defense under Adrian Griffin, but they won, like, a lot of games when they fired him.
I think they had a higher winning percentage under Griffin than they did under Doc.
Yeah, I think they were, like, 33-9 or something, like, really good. And I wasn't wild about that hire when it happened in the offseason, but if it's, like, if he did enough in the interview to make you hire him and then you win, like, 75% of your first – 80% of your first however many games, 40 games, like – I don't know if that math was right, but why fire him? I mean, yeah, he didn't institute defense, but I'm sure he didn't institute defense when you interviewed him. So I don't know. Something weird must have happened or someone killed the coach. I'm not sure.
I think that last part might be the one. A coach doesn't get fired after the six. I think he had the best winning percentage of a coach that was fired as quickly as he was. I'm pretty sure that he set the record for that. That only happens if the stars aren't happy.
I've never seen that. And I do think their defensive rating got better under Doc, which is, I guess, their excuse for trying to become a more balanced team. But yeah, the juju is pretty much off. It would be interesting if Giannis does play the series because he got in that fight with the Pacers the last time they like stole his ball that was a milestone to him that he wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And he had like a whole roid rage freak out about it. So that would provide some fun NBA petty intrigue. Pacers are weird, though. They're just so finesse. They're all offensive built. Halliburton, like, died for a few months, and then he seems like he's been bouncing back a little bit. I mean, I guess maybe going all in for that play-in tournament didn't help them. No Ben Mathurin. He's my guy, and he's been out for a while.
I love that.
But TJ McConnell's actually been the truth. Like, he's that man can ball. What an NBA career for the legend, TJ McConnell.
He's like Jalen Brunson light. You know, when you think about Brunson with the Mavs.
Yeah. OG veteran spell point guard who just knows how to run the show. Very fundamental and smooth. Rick Carlisle ball. He's certainly been there. I'm for some reason going to hold my nose and take the Bucks there. I'm kind of over the Pacers because it's just so one sided in terms of offensive ball. And as weird as the Bucks are, even though Damian's been like bad too, it's kind of weird. I'm just going to, for some reason, hold my nose and take the Bucks there, but it doesn't feel great.
I don't love the trend that I'm going on here with my picks for these series, and we only know four of the matchups as of the time that we're having this conversation, but I'm continuously on the lower seed or the high. Yeah, the lower seed. Dallas and L.A. So Kawhi Leonard has some swelling in his knee. I don't trust James Harden as far as I can throw him. Paul George, sort of indifferent about his. We've seen him struggle in the playoffs. We've seen him be a monster in the playoffs. So he's kind of a wash for me.
EG.
But I think this is Luka's coming out party. I mean, not that he hasn't broken out yet, but just furthering that campaign. I like the way Dallas has been playing. So I would take the Mavericks in that series pretty confidently, especially if the stone cold killer of Kawhi Leonard can't play.
Man, it's really a shame because I like want to take the Clippers so bad. They have some really nice depth. They have like the right guys that are playing together, I think, or at least it just worked out like that in the regular season. But yeah, no one had a better deadline than the Mavs. Like Daniel Gafford's been amazing over there. PJ Washington was a huge heist, especially for the way they play. He can just spot up, knock down. He can be pretty versatile. They seem like they enjoy playing together. I mean, Dallas still weirds me out a little bit. That is an interesting series, right? Because Luka came back in the bubble on the Clips down 3-1 and beat him. And then I think there was another year or two based on what NBA TV was talking about recently that the Clippers had knocked the Mavericks out. So very interesting. I think just because the Mavericks had this like great trade deadline, I'm going to, I guess, take the swing with the Mavs because, like you said, if I didn't even realize Kawhi's got swelling in his knee. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the issue. We all trust Kawhi Leonard come playoff time. That's not a problem. The guy is, you know, he's Michael Jordan light when he gets going in the playoffs. But that was the issue last year. He was really good again, and then he couldn't play. And if that's an issue, I don't think they have a chance. The Mavs are 18-9 after the All-Star break. That was the fourth best record in the NBA. And the Clippers are towards the bottom. They're 15 and they're just over 500 after the All-Star break. So that team,
I mean, if the Clips are truly rested, they're going to be okay. But I don't know if I can believe that. And Luke is the most dangerous man who at some point has to make a finals run. Like, he's that good, it feels like. But
I think we'll could be that year. This is a year where, you know, I'm sure Jokic just wants to go play with his horses. And OKC is really good, but they're so young. The Warriors and the Lakers are old. We don't even know if they're going to make it to a playoff series. And I don't trust the Suns. So, you know, it feels like if it was going to happen and the way that they've been playing, I could see Dallas making it to the finals as sort of like a sleeper.
I like the T-Wolves. Like, Ant-Man, I feel like, is as cold as it gets. He's got it in him to take his team far. Gobert has really fully won me over. Like, I've kind of pivoted on my strong takes on all that they gave up to go get Rudy Gobert. This year, it's, like, worked out really nicely. Big part of their identity of their team. We'll see how fresh Karl Anthony Towns can get. I kind of like some of their other role players. Conley's still doing the thing. They pick up an Alexander Walker. Kyle Anderson, Naz Reid is like great bucket getter in the NBA. Did a nice job filling in for Cat. I've always wanted to take the Wolves. Plus, I think that they match up best against the Nuggets. But at the end of the day, there's no way I'm going against Nikola Jokic in that home court advantage when they have it. Like, I'm with the Nuggets getting there again.
Here's the thing with the Maverick or the Timberwolves. I'm with you on Minnesota. I was all ready to buy in on them. I hate their first round matchup. Hate it.
Yeah, they just got beat up by that team too. I don't know if maybe they did that purposely so they'd draw them. Because
not been strong this year, but still, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are no easy out in the first round. And I think it's a bad matchup when you think about it from the styles make fights, as they say. The Timberwolves pack the paint. You cannot score on this team in the paint with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Well, the Suns have no interest in going there. All they do is shoot mid-range and outside shots. That's it.
They're like, I was joking with a buddy the other day, of like, they're like some random kid's 2K franchise that's created. Like, I've got Durant and Booker and Beal and Grayson Allen. Like, yeah,
who's playing point guard? I don't care. They're all playing point guard.
Yeah, and Grayson Allen and Nurkic and Royce O'Neal. And Bol Bol. Actually, it sounds like a team that I made.
Free agency. Yeah.
It sounds like a team I made.
It's a Tazi 2K Taz team. I would take the Suns in that series, though. I like Minnesota, so that's an unfortunate draw for them. That's what I would call it.
I wanted to give the Suns more credit than people have been giving them this year, and I think Beal is finally healthy, although that back could go at any time. I thought Beal played pretty well down the stretch, too. But, I mean, yeah, it's weird because, like you said, they packed the paint, but I still want to take that more physical team that can get after it that I feel like has had a really good season. It's a shame for them. They're not the one seed. But then again, I was saying to people that I thought the Lakers would be a bad matchup for them because LeBron can just end up sunning teams that are a little too young. I mean, Memphis got totally sunned by them last year. LeBron's going to struggle with like a Nuggets team if that's who it ends up being. But yeah. I'd imagine they beat the Pelicans tonight. They seem to match up well against them this year. It is in New Orleans, though. That does change things.
No, but it doesn't. It might be the worst. That might be the worst NBA atmosphere in the entire league. The worst.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got other things going on in the Big Easy.
It's so weird. It's a great sports market for football, but I've been to the Smoothie King Center, and that was during the Anthony Davis days, so it's not like they didn't have a guy. That arena was dead. Deader than dead.
My buddy who shoots, like, the slow-motion replays and stuff, who travels all these arenas, said, like, the last big playoff run they had, I guess 2 years ago, people were kind of showing up and buying in. I mean, it's a fun team. They got tons of guys. I don't know if they can play together perfectly when the games matter the most, but I mean, it's a fun batch of guys, and they're getting Ingram back, which could either help or hurt. So that it's an interesting game if the Pelicans make it one.
You know, I just realized this is sort of almost like a stoner thought. The Pelicans are all wings, and yet their logo is also a wing. You know,
I love it.
Isn't that amazing? I mean,
they really are all wings.
They're all wings, and the logo Ingram, matches.
Murphy, McCollum, like I mean, all these guys can get serious amounts of buckets. So I hope the Pelicans make a play, but good luck playing the Nuggets next round if they win tonight. Whoever wins that game is getting smushed by the Nuggets.
All right, you want to give me your 45-second breakdown on the New York Yankees before we call it an episode?
Well, there's one other series that we didn't talk about, and that's Knicks. Knicks Sixers.
Oh well, I was Knicks skipping Sixers. The ones that hadn't happened yet. But yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the Sixers are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. My Eastern Conference Finals pick would be Boston and Philadelphia. Is that Pops, by the way, back there?
Yeah, he's making a quick appearance, but he's locked in. Then we got some people who are cleaning the house coming over in a little bit, too. So really under the gun here to finish up. But I feel like besides a few times getting distracted, staying the course, Knicks, what could be Sixers or Heat. Yeah, I mean, the Sixers have better odds to win the East than the Knicks, who are the two seed. So that was a big talk on WFAN yesterday. Like they're saying, should the number one seed choose who they want to play, then the second seed get the second choice. But this is like a different sort of year. There's more parity than I've ever seen before. There's like teams that have been injured and older that have like the play-in as a fallback. So normally it's like the first three seeds are, you know, dominant teams, and the last two teams in the playoffs are usually teams that are like sort of just happy to be there and they get smoked. But NBA is in a really good spot right now where it's like so much balance. And then a team like the Sixers. So there's plenty of proud Knicks fans saying, hey, we drew who we drew. You know, we'll take care of it. Embiid could get hurt, which is all very true. Because if Embiid gets hurt, they're the worst team in the entire playoffs suddenly. It's so built through him. But I don't know. It seems like he's like good to go. He was kind of limping around against the Nets the other day and nearly had a triple-double. So as long as he's on the floor, he's still – big time dangerous, but I'm crazy enough, and I might have to put it in before, and this is why the Knicks are probably finished, but I might have to put it in before these games start, Knicks to win the East. Like, no Julius Randle really hurts them, but man, Jalen Brunson, it really feels like Steph Curry stuff, what he's doing right now, like prime Steph Curry stuff.
Damn.
And
But Steph never had to worry about this. Steph never had one of his best running mates that wasn't available for those runs.
Yeah, I mean, and I've talked about it with so many people, and Julius is having a great year, and he can take pressure off Jalen Brunson, but he would also mess around, especially in the playoffs at times. This almost makes it more efficient. It's almost like what the Sixers are doing. It's all through Embiid. Now it's all through Brunson, and yeah, he might be exhausted by a certain point in the playoffs or even the series. He's been doing heavy lifting all year, but there's no one who like seems to work harder than this guy, and he can just – he knows his game. He knows how to get to his spots. I've never really seen anything like it. One of my favorite NBA players of all time, he's really emerged into. And then Dante DiVincenzo is like baby Clay. This man splashes. Like, it's as long as he's making shots and they're playing with that same high intensity and they got a healthy OG, like, they're major trouble. It's just their path is probably going to end up being tougher than anybody else's. So at some
point, bought in. You're all bought in on the Knicks.
I'm drinking big Knicks Kool-Aid. I was really hoping for
I think it's the region that you're in.
It is, but also, like, I just enjoy watching them. I loved all those guys at Villanova. Like, Josh Hart is, like, the most unique player in basketball, and I've always thought that. And
they do have a playoff brand about them with the guys they have. And Tom Thibodeau, like, they're going to play you tough no matter who they play. And I'm with you. You kind of have to just – you take who you're matched up with. You got to beat good teams to make it to the finals, whether that's in round one, round two, round three, whatever. You're going to have to win tough series.
And it can catapult you, too. You beat a team like that, like, oh, we just did that. So who's –
look at the Heat. Look at Miami. Miami knocked out Milwaukee, and it was all systems go after that.
When I was just about to bring them up, like, I kind of want to see – Sixers, Knicks, a Knicks Heat would be pretty damn sexy as well. I'd be all about it. The Knicks have revenge on their mind. The Heat sure aren't afraid of anybody. But I kind of want to see Sixers, Knicks, and then the Heat. Heat, I don't worry about having to play the Bulls or Hawks if they stumble against the Sixers. And it'll just make them even more tested because they'll be exactly facing elimination. And that's when you get, like, the best version of the Heat normally. And they got a couple new guys into the fold, like a Rozier, a Hawkes, a Nikola Jovic. Like, they have some secret weapons, like, ready to go. I think they're, like, in some ways more talented than they were going into the playoffs last year. They really were a skeleton crew. And yeah. So if Jimmy turns into what is playoff Jimmy, right, this, it has to happen. I think the Celtics are totally ripe to get upset. I mean, the Celtics are built so much better this year, but Missoula and like, I just think they're like a little bit soft for as perfectly built as they are. There's just something always missing with the heart or something.
Yeah, this could be a year where we see 8 seeds upset 1 seeds in both conferences. You know, the Warriors or the Lakers could beat the Thunder in a 7-game series. And you know Miami can beat Boston because they just did it last year.
Yeah.
With you. I mean, I think some of that was some kind of like Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra pixie dust that they have to have run out of that supply. But they are more talented. I like Terry Rozier more than I like Caleb Martin. That guy was on a heater.
Or even Gabe Vincent. He's kind of in that Gabe Vincent role at this point. I think he was
the point guard.
And they have a healthy Hero too, right? As far as
right,
I know.
And they didn't have that
last
year.
They have plenty to work with.
For
at the very least, I think they make it a series with the Celtics. And to have 1-8 series and a 2-7 series in the East that like feels like it could go the distance is pretty fun. And they might be the best series in terms of like, you know, mainstream teams and the way they play and playoff teams. So the Magic Cavs does feel like it might be a little overlooked. Magic sort of need to take advantage of that because everybody's going to be talking about the Celtics, the Knicks, Sixers, Heat. They're probably the foremost talked about team besides when Giannis is healthy in the East. So those are the series that are probably going to get the most coverage.
So we'll cap it right there. If you want Yankee takes from Tazi, don't worry. He's firing away on his Twitter account at TazCast is how you can follow along.
It's pretty much all I do. I mean, real quick. God bless John Sterling. Quick, sudden retirement. It changes my life a little bit. In fact, I got a taste of life after John last night, driving around in the Ubers, listening to Justin Shackle. Very nuts and bolts, no personality. Let you know what's happening, but it's totally different now.
Yeah.
I mean, John could get the play wrong, but it's like, everything he says between pitches is like on point, and it still sounded good. So, but Yankee bullpen, very weird. Infield defense been kind of shoddy. The lineup still isn't even that complete, but like Soto's the absolute truth. Waiting for Judge to get it going. Volpe's become a star in the leadoff. Waiting on Jason Dominguez. Long season. Fired up for Yanks O's. In fact, going to Yanks O's at the end of the month with Pops.
That's wonderful. Is that at Camden Yards or at Yankee Stadium?
At Camden Yards. That sets up to be maybe the series to this point in the season when it comes. Yeah. Like I'm expecting the Yanks to kind of like blow this little divisional lead they have. I don't know why. I just don't trust a lot of the starting rotation or the bullpen. So they kind of got to out-hit teams. But O's are sexy. Colton Cowser, incredible week. Love the Burns pickup. Jackson Holiday up. He'll eventually start hitting. Start.
He looks nervous to me. And, I mean, Gunnar Henderson last night was incredible. They have the best young – I think they have the best young team in baseball. I don't even know if it's debatable.
They're just so cool, and they just seem like they fit the city of Baltimore perfectly, and Brendan High, like they got it all going on. Mike Elias built it up. They hired him from the Astros, and they're like basically the new Astros. They just have constant talent upon talent upon talent. They can make trades if they need, they can call guys up. They're already good. There's such a vibe going over there. So as fired up as I am to go to Yanks at Orioles at Camden Yards, I'm a little nervous, like could get our heads handed to us. And I'd be sitting there getting made fun of by Oriole fans who I've once kind of felt sorry for and supported from afar. Now it's you guys got billionaire owners and all this young talent. I'm pretty scared. The Orioles are here for a long time.
Well, you have to give me the update from that series. That should be a lot of fun to anytime that you get to step into the hallowed halls of Camden Yards. Always a good time.
100%. Yeah, I couldn't believe. I'll get a sidetrack. I was going to talk about the bridge that went down in Baltimore. So
I got to
check out what's going on over there.
At TazCast is how you can follow him. He is Mike Tazi. I'm Brandon Kravitz. This has been the Zoneheads Orlando podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. We'll even produce your very own podcasts. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow the show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a certified Zonehead, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking out today's episode. We continue this week. Tomorrow, Greg Rhodes has you covered with the stories that go underreported here in Central Florida. Chat soon, Zoneheads.